What's up? It's Delaney, and I'd love to invite you to become an honorary co-host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Do you want to pick episode topics and guests? Done. Want to surprise your loved ones with shout-outs on the show for a birthday, project launch, a much-needed divorce? Whatever you're up to, would love to be a part of the celebration. Get your favorite and least favorite quotes featured on the podcast, submit questions for our special guests, and find lots more new features and surprises at patreon.com/selfhelpless. You'll also get added to our Patreon Insider email list to easily redeem rewards via a quick email reply. Because we know hanging out on Patreon isn't everyone's thing. You can also opt out of emails if you prefer to be a silent supporter of the show. And don't worry, we do not Scrooge McDuck these contributions. 100% of proceeds go directly to operating expenses that make this weekly podcast possible and available to all. Learn more at patreon.com/selfhelpless or simply click the link in this episode's description. Thank you for helping me fill the void of being the last standing host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Thank you so much.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey guys, before we get into today's show, just a couple quick announcements. This is Kelsey. I'm going to be headlining lots of dates coming up on the road. I'm going to be at the Comics Roadhouse Club at the Mohegan Sun Resort in Uncasville, Connecticut, July 1st through the 3rd, and then I'm going to be headlining DC Comedy Loft in DC July 8th through the 10th. So many more dates coming up, guys. Go to kelseycook.com for tickets.
And you can head over to delaneyfisher.com for business coaching and business consulting services.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Self-Helpless. I'm Kelsey Cook.
I'm Delaney Fisher.
And today we're going to be talking to you guys about criticism, about handling criticism, managing it, the different types, constructive criticism versus destructive criticism, and just everything in between.
So juicy. Let's dive right in. But first, a quotable. This is from, submitted by Helpster Diana. It says, healing doesn't mean the damage never existed. It means the damage no longer controls our lives. Wow. That's a Akshay Dubey quote.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's a good one.
That is an excellent one. I have not heard that before. Thank you so much, Diana.
Yeah.
For submitting that. And if you want to submit your own quotes, you can head over to patreon.com/selfhelpless.
Yeah. I think a lot of perfectionists, myself included, can get caught in that trap of ruminating on things that you wish hadn't happened and just being like, I wish I could have just avoided that damage or whatever it is. Right. But that's not reality. You can't live life perfectly. You have to figure out how to deal with it once stuff like that happens.
Oh my gosh. I'm constantly pulling myself out of perfectionism. So yes. My phone is just filled with hot tips to get myself out of spirals. I mean, it's ridiculous.
I mentioned it before. I mean, we're not sponsored by this app or anything. I just really am loving it. It's called the I Am app. I believe if you just search it on your phone, and it's that little widget that sits at your top of your phone, and it just refreshes a new positive quote or something that motivates you. I just love it. So every time I look at my phone, it makes me feel good. Right now it says, "I know I am good enough to accomplish whatever I set my mind to." And I'm just like, thanks, phone.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. It's like a fairy godmother out of nowhere. So nice.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, if we can't break our bad phone habits and you're going to be looking at it, you might as well get a little positive boost while you are.
Yes. Yeah, that is a really good practical tip. If you're spending a lot of time somewhere that might be sometimes draining your energy, how can you implant something that's going to level some shit out?
Yeah. Yeah. I like that app a lot. So handling criticism, when we decided we were going to talk about this, one of the first things that came to mind was the book The Artist's Way, which we have talked about so many times, probably the most referenced book, I would say, on this podcast in the almost 4 years of us doing it now. But criticism is a topic that comes up frequently throughout The Artist's Way, and it has stuck with me in times that I've received criticism, because there's just some really foundational truths that I had not heard about criticism until I read this book. So I wanted to just read a couple little pieces of it.
Yeah, let's hear it.
So she's talking about the shame aspect of criticism and how that can potentially shut people down from creating more. So then she says, let me be clear, not all criticism is shaming. In fact, even the most severe criticism, when it fairly hits the mark, is apt to be greeted with an internal aha if it shows the artist a new and valid path for work. The criticism that damages is that which disparages, dismisses, ridicules, or condemns. It is frequently vicious, but vague and difficult to refute. This is the criticism that damages. So just right there, I love that, because it's true. It's not, it's kind of like what we were just saying in the beginning of this episode with the quotable. It's like, you can't go through life expecting to never receive criticism for your work. It is a part of life. I mean, it's a part of relationships. It's a part of things even outside of work, but it's the criticism that is presented in a way that's actually helpful and constructive.
Right.
That can make you go, oh, not only was this potentially not painful to hear, but I'm glad I heard it because now it's helping me.
So helpful. I love constructive criticism. I honestly, for me, criticism holds a very heavy weight, that word. I just like saying it's feedback, it's information, it's data. So when I get that information, I'm like, wow, this person gave enough of a shit to send this in or let me know this thing because they obviously believe that I'm going to receive it and maybe implement it and do better or do things differently. And I appreciate that. It's the destructive stuff that is very unhelpful and fucking rude.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, what? Yes.
Absolutely. And then she goes on to say, shamed by such destructive criticism, an artist may become blocked or stop sending work out into the world. A perfectionist friend, teacher, or critic, like a perfectionist parent who nitpicks at missing commas, can dampen the ardor of a young artist who is just learning to let it rip. Because of this, as artists, we must learn to be very self-protective. Does this mean no criticism? No, it means learning where and when to seek out the right criticism. As artists, we must learn when criticism is appropriate and from whom. Not only the source, but the timing is very important here. A first draft is seldom appropriately shown to any but the most gentle and discerning eye. And I, like, again, there's just, I think there's so many good nuggets in this, because it's true. I think the longer you're doing your craft or whatever it is you're working on, you learn who in your life you can show a first draft of something to.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Right? I mean, anything creative, I feel like you learn that early on when you're starting, of like, who can you trust with information and who is not to really be trusted for that specific thing because of their own fears that they might project on you.
Right. And that's a big thing, too, is when you are receiving destructive criticism, trying to take a step back and go, okay, who is the person that's saying this to me?
Yeah.
And where are they at in their life? And do I respect them?
Oh, absolutely. I actually have done several exercises around this too. And I just like to, ask myself a few questions about the person. Do they seem happy? Are they doing what I want to be doing? Do they have a life or lifestyle that I would really enjoy? And 10 times out of 10, the answer is no when it's destructive criticism. And that's very helpful. And so, yeah, I'm a big fan of actually putting pen to paper and asking yourself those types of things.
Yeah. Especially if it's a big criticism, if it's something that really, really hurts, I think it's good to just sit down and break all that down sometimes. So those are some parts, some excerpts from The Artist's Way that I found very helpful.
Very nice. Another thing I love doing is if I'm nervous, if I'm scared to do something because of criticism, instead of that, like that vague fear that's floating around in your head, like everybody's going to think I'm stupid and I'm going to get all this shit. It's like writing down the exact people you're worried about. And when you actually write down the exact people, you realize, oh, it's like three people I'm scared of, not 5 million people floating around in my head, not the whole world. And then looking at that list, saying, okay, what's a solution for each person on this list? Can I have a conversation with one of them saying, you know, maybe I say, I'm trying this new thing. I'm a little nervous. Like you want to open them up to support you? Or am I going to share this thing on social media that I'm scared about? Can I just hide it from this person so I don't feel that pressure?
Yeah.
Like actually making it tangible and realistic versus just being so afraid and make, you know, it kind of just piles on when you don't actually extract it like from yourself, you know?
Yeah. I think when we're in the place of receiving destructive criticism, it triggers that other part of our brain that's not really thinking logically, which I think that's such a great exercise you're talking about, to actually write down like, okay, how many people are you actually receiving this criticism from? Because most of the time it's a much smaller pool of people than in your mind where you're like, oh my God, everybody thinks this is like, no, three shitty people on the internet.
Right.
Said a mean comment, and now you're letting that inform your entire reality. And that's just like not the case.
Exactly. It's like you get in that flight or flight mode because if you're getting criticized, it can feel threatening because criticism might be like an attack. Back in the day, might be an attack or something worse. And then I've done this exercise before and I'm like, oh, my fucking uncle's neighbor's sister's daughter. Why am I worried about her? I've seen her like every 5 years. This is insane. This is the type of person I was going to let these three people stop me from pursuing this thing I'm passionate about. That's wild.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. It's, in Julia Cameron, in the Artist's Way, talks about that we're not able to control, right, necessarily the amount of criticism we're going to receive or when. And I'm learning to just more and more online that the more your stuff is reaching more people, you are just, it's a numbers game.
Like,
you will be receiving criticism. And I guess this is my like good shit for the week, but I'll bump it up to here because it makes sense to talk about it now. So some of my stuff went viral on TikTok. And did we talk about this on the last episode?
I don't remember. Was it the Tinkle Gang stuff?
No.
Oh, okay. That was different.
Okay. Yeah. So no, we haven't talked about this. So my bit, it's a bit from my album Savor it was like from 3 years ago. It's my Cali Kelly autocorrect, like death by autocorrect bit. Okay. And I posted the clip on Instagram and I posted it on TikTok, and it got on TikTok. It's about to hit 7 million views.
Oh, wow.
In a week, which is crazy.
Yeah.
And it's so wonderful and it's been like an exciting little boost. But at a certain point I had to, like, the initial comments were fun to look at because it was a lot of people being like, oh my God, this is hilarious. But once something reaches 7 million people, you are dealing with all kinds of crazy.
All of it.
You're dealing with a lot of people. And I'll get notifications that I'm getting like a bunch of comments. And then I will look and I will realize that it's two people that are having a fight. Within one of the comment threads. Somebody saying something shitty about the joke, somebody coming to my defense, and the two of them just have a battle royale for the next 72 hours.
Oh,
it's wild. So it's just the amount of criticism. It resonated a lot with me in the book of like, you're not going to be able to control it. Like you really can't, especially with things online. But
who was it? Was it Liz?
Liz, yes.
Miel.
Liz Mealy.
Oh my gosh. I loved what she said when we start getting trolls and haters, that means like, oh, it's getting seen. This is great news. I love that approach because it is
true. I love
it
too.
Like, listen, you can't avoid it. And the more you get, it just means, well, you're doing something, you're putting yourself out there.
Yeah.
And not everybody has to like you or love you for you to do what you love and be successful at it.
Right.
That's what's great. It's like, you know, everything is subjective and some people are assholes.
Yeah.
And that's that.
TikTok is funny too, because I feel like Instagram is a little bit more personal, right? Whereas TikTok mm-hmm. is just this like very open form. It's almost like watching TV. I think people feel like they're watching TV rather than understanding that it's actual creators. I mean, I've joked that right. TikTok is like my new favorite TV show because you right. feel like you're watching a show. But people will just leave like such savage comments, and then you click on their profile and they're following you. And you're like,
gosh,
why are you following me if you hate me?
Right. Oh my gosh. Okay. Going off of that, I don't know what conversation I was in with somebody not too long ago, more of like an acquaintance situation mm-hmm. where somebody talked about that they follow people they hate. Like there's something called hate follows, where you follow them because they drive you nuts and you hate everything about them and you want to for some reason have that in your life. And of course you can envision my response to that.
Sure.
I'll leave it out. But I was just like, ooh, fucking gross. You know, like why gross? Like why would you?
I mean, that's just, that is actively feeding such a dark part of yourself.
Right. And also like you're following somebody so you can be mean to them, or you can encourage other people to be mean to them. Like go fuck yourself. I'm sorry. I'm like, I feel like I've been real nice for the past 4 years when it comes to this stuff. And I'm like done with it. I'm over it, because I see like the damage it can do if somebody
it's horrible.
Is new to something, or like they finally got the courage to do something and then they're met with something like this. It's like, you know, the mindset you have to even go, you know, be in to step forward. And I'm just tired of people getting bullied around this stuff.
The online bullying shit is so real.
Yeah.
It's so real. And it really fucking, I mean, people, there's documentaries about people taking their lives from online bullying. I mean, it's
horrific.
It's horrific. And yeah, it feeds off of each other. The people who are doing that are then feeling validated, like that this is a thing. The fact that there's even a term for it called hate following, that's
didn't know it was a thing.
Yeah.
Not happy about that.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's TikTok makes you realize things that you didn't otherwise, like I guess the hate following stuff, where it's one thing to get shitty comments, but it's so interesting to me to then see who said it and be like, wait,
they
why
want
are
more.
You? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
Why is Wild West out there?
Wild West on TikTok, man. It's like, careful what you wish for. I just hit 330,000 followers on TikTok, which is the most I've ever had on any platform. And you're like, this is so exciting. I hope this translates into like people coming out to live shows. And, but yeah, I have to kind of not look at comments for the most part,
which is it's a bummer, you know. It's kind of a bummer. You have to like limit that, and just an unfortunate part of this territory. If you are doing anything where you are putting yourself out there, you are stepping forward and being courageous about something, it's gonna happen, whether it's on the internet or by a family member or a friend or an acquaintance.
So
should we talk about a couple of the differences here and some hot tips?
Yes, please.
Okay. So just to kind of go over, you know, just an overview, constructive criticism is designed to point out your mistakes, but also show you where and how improvements can be made. So this is like the good shit. You know, constructive criticism should be viewed as useful feedback that can help you improve yourself rather than put you down. When criticism is constructive, it is usually easier to accept, even if it still hurts a little. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And then destructive criticism. This is the mean shit. Or negative criticism. We just swipe this out and call it mean shit.
Mean shit.
Yes. When someone is giving destructive criticism, it can hurt your pride and have negative effects on your self-esteem and confidence. Destructive criticism is often just thoughtlessness by another person, but it can also be deliberately malicious, and hurtful. Destructive criticism can, in some cases, lead to anger and or aggression.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because it's like somebody took a shit on top of your head.
Yeah.
And then you're like, well, what the fuck do I do? Now I'm just walking around with shit on me. Like,
how do I clean this shit?
How do I clean this shit off me? There's no direction. There's no, it's lacking that aha moment that Julia Cameron talks about, where it's like, oh, okay, you said this thing and now I'm going to take it and use it to improve. It's just somebody trying to make you feel bad.
Right, exactly.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And it's interesting because even like reading comments online or whatever you might be reading, you can tell what's constructive and what isn't. And the thing is, the people who are leaving destructive criticism, most people are like, ooh, that person's got something going on. Like, I don't know if there's enough awareness with somebody leaving destructive criticism to know that it's very transparent that what they're doing is just attacking somebody for the sake of attacking, and there's no weight in it. And it's, to me, when I see that stuff, it makes that person look bad. It doesn't make the person they're criticizing look bad in my eyes. It's like, wow, that person's going through a lot of pain and hurt, and this is the outlet they have chosen. And I know for me personally, we've been doing the podcast for 4 years, we've been in the public space, you know, all of us in some capacity. And when I get criticism that is just, sometimes it's just not even factual and it's really funny. You know what I mean? Like, it's just somebody making an assumption about your life and stating it like it's fact and reality, and it's not. And that's the kind of stuff that I usually just am able to laugh off, because it's like somebody saying, Delaney, you're 3'4". Why are you so short? And get taller. And why are you staying 3'4"? You know what I mean? It's like, well, I'm 5'8½", so that's kind of a weird thing to say. Okay, that's funny, I guess.
Oh, that's such a good analogy. That's a great way to look at it.
Where it's like, that's just not even true. That's not even true. You don't even know me, and you're just saying something like you know my life.
Right.
And
it's very weird. Are you really 5'8½"?
Yeah.
You're tall.
Yeah. Thank you. No,
I know you're like taller than me, but
I'm a pretty tall lady.
To hear it in numbers, I'm like, damn.
Yeah. And damn, I've been tall since I was younger too. So I was always like towering over people.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I was the opposite. We used to have a running joke with my friends and I in middle school that, cause you remember taking like sports photos as a team.
Yes.
So it always looked like I was like the coach's daughter that they let sneak into the photo.
You were in the front row. I was always in the back.
I just looked like significantly shorter and smaller than everybody else. And I was always just like, Coach Hilliard, like really, like get your kid out of here, man. Like, what is going on?
Oh my gosh, dude. That is so funny. I don't know if you experienced this, Kels, but like any criticism that I might get, it might be like kind of mean, but a part of me believes it. So it hits me so much harder. Where like, let's say somebody calling me 3'4", it's like, that's hilarious because everybody can see I'm 5'8½", whatever.
Right.
But if somebody says something like really mean, in a different respect, I'm trying to like think of, you know, examples, and if I'm like, oh, that's actually something I'm working on and I'm worried about, and does that mean everybody knows that? Like something, you know, Delaney doesn't speak with conviction about this thing, right? That I'm like, oh, I'm actually working on that. And does that mean everybody else thinks like I'm not showing up in a certain way too?
Right.
So it's weird, like the way that you feel about yourself is also a huge factor in how criticism affects you, right?
For sure, man. That to me, those are the most damaging times when it's destructive criticism and it's hitting on something I'm insecure about.
Yes.
Because that's that effect of if you get a destructive piece of criticism or you read a mean comment or something online, part of your brain goes, does everybody feel this way? And right. only this troll is unwell enough to say it into the internet.
Right.
Like, is this person speaking on behalf of everybody else that is just too nice to actually say what they're thinking, but this is what everybody's thinking? Like,
yeah,
that shit is tough.
Woo. Yeah, that is very tough. Yeah. So when you are interacting with someone who is criticizing you, constructive or not, here are some reactions and actions to try. And this is all from Psychology Today. Number one, stay calm. Calmness, even if it does not come naturally or easily, always wins over agitation. You will get to the next several steps only if you can remain calm. Keep breathing deeply. This is very challenging to do in the moment, dude. This is like, you have to like talk yourself out. Like, don't say what you want to say. Don't fight back. Take a breather. I mean, I have, you know, experience where I am so upset and angry in the moment about something that was just horrible that was said about me. And in that moment, I'm like, I feel like I could totally do X, Y, and Z and humiliate this person. And I have all the means to do it. And I'm like, I could totally do that right now, but I would not stoop to that level that they have met me at, you know, like I will not meet you there, dude. And so I try to just sleep on it. I just say, look, I'm taking the night and I can take action tomorrow if I'm still fucking pissed.
Right.
And I wake up and I say, you know what? I feel better. I'm not going to be that type of person. Something usually positive has happened since that moment to make me kind of come out of that. Do you have anything that like pulls you out of that moment, Kels?
Yeah. Well, and I was going to say too that there are so many times in life where I think you receive criticism and you don't even realize until like 3 hours later how much it bothered you. Because sometimes criticism is just really like they just can slide it in real smooth, real subtle, real slick, just a quick kind of like passive aggressive or whatever. And in the moment I feel like I'll always feel it in my body where you'll go like, like why did my stomach just kind of tense up? Like why do I feel not great right now? But if you're in conversation, especially if it's with somebody that you are not used to them making you feel a certain bad way, you might just like kind of blow through it and keep the conversation going. And then it's not till later when you're on your own that you're thinking like, that was kind of fucked up. Like that was shitty. So I think what you're saying you do is super helpful and it's hard and it takes practice to take a deep breath and be like, okay, like just staying in touch with yourself. If you know criticism is happening in the moment, just being like, no, this fucking sucks, but
take a deep breath, maybe a CBD gummy or a glass of wine or a good burger. Whatever you got to do.
Whatever you got to do.
And then next one, you know, listen before you start responding, let the person finish saying what they need to say. If you don't, you will appear defensive and the other person may become more agitated. Take a moment to prepare your response. And if you are not ready to respond, then move on to step number three. Kels, you want to dish out step number three?
Number three, tell the person who has just criticized you that you need time to
fuck off. I'm kidding.
I was not expecting that. I hear you out and I need you to go fuck yourself. Have a good day. You need time to think about what they have said. This tends to be very helpful because we often feel differently about interactions after this crucial period of time has passed. Just true.
Right.
And that's just a reminder, like as you're hearing criticism, if it's really fucked up, You don't have to yell and scream back. I mean, you fucking can if you want. It's your life. But also, an option is just removing yourself.
Right.
And
right.
Just being like, okay, like, I hear you. I'm going to go.
Mm-hmm. I need a minute. I'm going to go take a break. I'll call you tomorrow.
Sometimes if it's a really toxic person, I think you can tell in the moment that you're not going to be getting through to them anyway.
Right.
Especially if they're in whatever headspace that they are to be saying what they're saying to you.
Yeah.
They're almost like looking for you to come like join them. Like let's fucking brawl. Like I feel like that's the energy that some people have where they're like daring you to confront them.
Totally.
And sometimes it's just best to remove yourself.
It's true. It's like sometimes you have to know when you're about to waste your energy or when you're about to, you know, expel some energy and it will actually resolve something, knowing the difference with that. Yeah.
Yeah. Number four, keep in mind that there may be something positive going on here and try to identify what that may be and see what you can learn. So yeah, sometimes if it's constructive.
Mm-hmm.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
I know for me, sometimes I tend to, if I can hear criticism start to happen, I can feel my defenses go up. Mm. But I'll have to like be like, okay, is there something that's being said here that is actually helpful? Sometimes, sometimes the answer is no.
Right.
So if you are not sure if the feedback has any merit, then consider running it by a trusted coworker or friend who will be honest with you. Pick a person that you trust to speak the truth to you. It is easier to hear the truth from someone who knows you and cares about you. Yeah. That's a great one. Like get a second opinion.
Yep, absolutely. And when you decide to respond, ask for examples. If you are being told that you seem uninvolved, unprepared, inconsiderate, thoughtless, etc., and this doesn't ring true for you, then ask for examples. This gives you something to work with and think about. That is an excellent piece of advice.
Mm-hmm.
Please list the examples and if you need to list your own examples too of why that's not your truth too, take some time and like bullet point and write them down and bring them to whatever the discussion might be too.
Yeah.
It's a really good one.
It can also highlight if they are being an asshole without you having to look confrontational.
Right.
Because if you're like, can you just explain to me, like, can you give me some examples of what you're talking about? And if they're not able to like really articulate in a meaningful way what they're saying, then you're kind of letting them look bad on their own.
Right.
Not having to do anything.
Right. They're slowly imploding before you.
Yes.
And this is a tough one, but hear me out. Try to have a bit of empathy for the person talking to you. They might think they are being polite or actually care to help you succeed. Now, this is from Psychology Today, not my own words, because I do believe empathy is super important, but not at the expense of mistreatment. So having empathy for somebody who maybe they said something a little like rash or that, you know, they didn't communicate properly and it hurt you, and resolving that versus somebody who is abusive and you can have empathy from them for very fucking far away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Empathy. Ooh.
Slippery empathy, slope sometimes.
Slippery slope. I have a hard time distancing myself from those situations. Because it is easy sometimes to look at somebody who is clearly in pain, saying hurtful things, and go, but I know why this is happening, because I know that this happened in their childhood. I know that they went through this X amount of time ago or whatever. Like, it is easy to have empathy for people, but it is so important to not let yourself get fucked over and hurt.
If
you are continuously having, there's all different situations, right? But if you are time and time again having to justify somebody's behavior when they're hurting you by using empathy, and it, like, that's, you have to keep track of, like, am I doing this over and over for this person?
Exactly. And, like, you know, have empathy for yourself, you know, first and foremost. And, you know, I just think that having empathy and understanding where they're coming from. And for me, it's like having empathy in the sense that it must be really hard navigating life as this person does. That must be, that must feel really painful and challenging. And I have empathy and I wish them the best, but it doesn't mean that I need to continue to surround myself with that.
Yeah.
And I can remove myself and love them and have empathy from afar. And that is okay. That's being empathetic to them and you, you know?
Yeah. Having empathy for yourself. What a great way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cause that's a big part of the equation. You can't just rescue people.
Right. Yeah. You can't just have empathy for everybody else.
Yeah. Yeah. Yikes. That's mm-hmm. that's a tough life to live.
Mm-hmm.
And then number 8, consider doing something nice for yourself on the day that you have received information that feels critical. We all benefit from proper self-care. Couldn't agree more.
Oh, yes.
Couldn't agree more. I think, and that's a big part of Artist Way too, is really treating yourself, especially in those moments, like think about your inner child, your child self. That's, you know, all of that self-help work is like, talk to your inner child and be like, I'm sorry that hurt today. Like that fucking sucked to hear. Let's go get some ice cream.
Right. Right. Yeah. And I think, and you know, checking in, like, why am I feeling hurt or defensive about something too? Like if you are receiving criticism, because for me, like going back to what we talked about, where maybe they're saying kind of something mean, but it hits us because we're like insecure about that thing. And well, if I'm insecure about that thing, what can help me improve upon that so something like this in the future won't affect me as much?
Yeah.
Do I want to, you know, have this conversation with somebody? Do I want to take a class and improve this skill set? Do I want to do this thing? And then I feel like you're slowly building your wall up in a good way of being able to have those things bounce right off of you.
Yeah, definitely. Is there a time in particular that you can think of that you received destructive criticism, and how you learned from it, how you handled it?
Yeah, I think for me, what really stands out, because I don't feel like I've ever, you know, a lot of these tips are like handling or dealing with something really face to face.
Yeah.
And for me, I think a lot of the stuff I'm thinking about has really happened on the internet, you know, like the internet and the trolls and the messages and that kind of stuff. And for me, it was basically like, okay, when I was on social media, I was like, I don't want to give anybody visibility or a platform if they're going to say something hateful about me or somebody else that might be following me or somebody in the comments. And so having a zero tolerance policy for that, whether that means they get deleted and blocked, they get restricted or removed some way, you know, that kind of no tolerance policy, or am I going to post something and like, do I want to disable the comments so there's no opportunity for anybody to say anything?
Right.
So those types of restrictions, and then just really stepping away from a lot of that, you know, like, I mean, even with self-helpless and stuff, it's like, we aren't the one handling anything. We don't see emails, we don't see reviews, we don't see a lot of that stuff. And I think that removal is important for our mental health. I don't know, Kels, if you feel that same way.
And right. I go onto iTunes and I look at the reviews.
And
like we do, our producer does send us emails that are like sweet and positive, or if it's like constructive criticism, we receive those too. But we are no longer the ones that filter through it. And potentially, you know,
get hurt by it.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So there's like a filtering process I think is super helpful, because then we have somebody in place to send us like, here's all the nice things people are saying, and then here's the constructive criticism, and let's implement this. And I think that's really nice, because we hear, we see the good stuff and we see the important stuff that's going to help us move forward, but we don't see the mean, hateful stuff of people just saying mean things about like our hair or voice or something. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, just don't need to know. Like, okay, that's cool. But I think that's been,
you get enough shit from me about your hair, so you don't need it from listeners.
I don't need Susie from Oklahoma telling me about it.
Your hair looks so cute lately, by the way. I love it.
Yeah, and I was, oh, thank you. This is, oh my gosh, the whole high ponytail. I just wish I would have done this 10 years ago, because it makes me feel like, well, I tried a little bit and it's still like dirty.
It's so flattering, and it pulls your whole face up, right? That's like a big focus in my makeup workshops is lifting the face, the appearance. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
One point, because I want to hear about you, Kels, is I think there's a difference between removing yourself to protect your energy and do quality work versus removing yourself and like staying sheltered and naive about stuff. That's not what I'm about. It's kind
right.
of about the news or something. It's like, I can doom scroll for 24 hours and feel like shit about myself and the planet, or I can set aside 10 minutes a day to go to a trusted source, get the information I need, ask myself, how can I implement or help the situation, and then go back to my day. And that's the same thing I feel about criticism. It's not like sheltering it and not paying attention to anybody. It's really just about if you want to keep doing certain work or doing something, you have to set boundaries. It's a huge boundary.
Right. Yeah.
So what definitely. About you, Kels? Any specific period of time or moment or, you know, piece of thing that you put out into the world that resonates with this topic?
I've touched on it before earlier on in the podcast, but I think doing like some of my earlier TV sets were some of the first time that I had been opened up to criticism on a whole new level, both on the internet and also within certain comedy relationships, where it's like all of a sudden you kind of can become somebody that is doing an opportunity that others might really want. And if they are not getting it, then they are going to look for ways to pick it apart, potentially, you know? And I had some really tough times with that early on, of taking things very personally rather than taking that initial step back and going, okay, but who is the person saying this to you? Right. And what is their career like? And is this the type of person that is even in a good place in life where you would want to hear these things from them? And so those were some early times that I wish I had not let it cut me so deeply. Mm-hmm. But I learned from it, and now I'm, you know, I think I would also enter if I was feeling insecure about something, like a piece of work I'd put out, I think you could like feel it on me, and you could feel it in conversation. Like if it got brought up, I think I thought, oh, if I say a remark about the thing I'm insecure about with it first, then it will like let them know that I know I'm insecure about it. So then they won't criticize me. I'll just like call attention to it.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
And it's funny because that would be like met with a lot of people being like, oh, I didn't think that at all. And it was, I had like a almost like a desperation, I think, like an energy about certain TV things of being afraid to be further criticized after getting shitty stuff online or whatever. And I was seeking validation. Like I really was wanting people to comfort me, and I was feeling insecure. This is a few years back, and I know comics, we still deal with insecurity all the time, but I was much more insecure then, and I'm glad now that I feel better in that way. But I used to really like put a lot of weight into people valuing me and mm-hmm. saying nice things to me. I would put a lot of weight in that. And then if they said mean things, that would like really, really take me down because I didn't have a good enough relationship with myself, I don't think. So the more that you can be your own cheerleader and be proud of yourself and feel secure and confident in yourself, the less you need other people's validation and the less you will be brought down by other people's criticism, I think.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And another fun thing is like you can write down evidence that like proves the opposite too. Like if you're being if you're feeling insecure about something or somebody said something really mean, think of all the instances where people have said the exact opposite. If that means like screenshotting nice comments you're getting or, you know, keeping it on your phone yeah. or on a piece of paper on your desk or in your, you know, a drawer or something that's easily accessible, like all the nice feedback, all the wonderful results that you've provided people with whatever work that you do, whatever it might be. And that's a really nice thing to just continue to add to and reference and help, you know, kind of pull yourself out of that, that, you know, one person's shitty comment doesn't mean that the world doesn't want you doing that.
Right.
That you do, you know?
Right. Yeah.
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 Any quick segments for me? I already said my segment earlier. Oh, we got to do iTunes review first.
Oh yeah. Go for it. Do you have anything like a last takeaway for anybody who's managing criticism right now in this moment?
Good question. I think you need to treat yourself a little bit. I think you need to be kind to yourself, do something that's going to make yourself feel good and do something that's going to make you feel bonded with yourself. Mm-hmm. And write out the list, like Delaney said, write out the list of like, who is this person that you're receiving it from? Do you respect them? Mm-hmm. Try to kind of go to the source, but yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And know that you're in good company. Anybody who's ever done anything that is courageous or against the grain or new has gotten criticized.
For sure.
It's all good.
For sure.
You want to read the iTunes
skills? Yeah. So this is from Kara. It's titled Keeping It Real. My name is Kara Brown or Kara. I'm sorry. I'm not sure. Kara or Kara. And I am from Falmouth, Kentucky. I have never been one to listen to podcasts, but was scrolling through Amazon Music and came across y'all. I was hooked after the first one I listened to. I love that y'all will talk about things that are extremely uncomfortable for most.
And us most of the time.
Yes. And to be able to give positive, straightforward feedback to your listeners. I hope that one day soon I will be able to see y'all live. Continue to keep it real and wish you all the best. Thank you, Kara or Kara. Thank you so much. What a review. Thank you.
So nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Feel free to head over to the iTunes and leave a 5-star rating review or whatever else you want to leave.
Yes, please. Yeah. It really does help us stay on the charts. So
yeah, it's very nice. Grows the community and everything. And
yeah,
I think the only segment I'd have is like, I'm just been married for 2 weeks and doing married people shit now. We're doing like, financial planning and stuff. And I'm like, when did we become these people?
Yeah. Look at you.
Very weird. And we've made some investments recently. So that's been interesting. And yeah, that's all I got. I'm just like, whoa, I feel married now. I'm doing adulting and it's very strange.
Yeah.
But I'm still, you know, in my underwear on the couch doing it.
That's great. Yes. Well, we are all so happy for you and we're excited to see wedding pictures when you have them.
Yes, I know. I'm excited to share. I'll let you guys know.
All right, guys. We love you. Remember to go to kelseycook.com for tickets. I'm at the Comics Roadhouse at Mohegan Sun in Uncasville, Connecticut. I'm not sure if I'm saying that city right, but that's July 1st through 3rd. I will be at the DC Comedy Loft July 8th through the 10th and so many more shows coming up. So go to kelseycook.com.
Beautiful. You can head over to delaneyfisher.com for business coaching and consulting information there.
Great. All right. Bye, you guys.
Love you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to the Self Helpless Podcast. You can find our Patreon community, merch, and our individual work at selfhelplesspodcast.com. We'd be thrilled if you shared this episode with a friend, or feel free to post it on Instagram and tag at Self Helpless Podcast so we can repost you and say thank you. Yeah.